great singing choir. Looking forward to a wonderful day today, and ask the Lord to help us as we study His Word together. Beautiful day outside. And next Sunday, I'll warn you in advance, it is Time Change Sunday. Some of you that never make it to Sunday school, next week is your opportunity at 10 o'clock to be in a Sunday school class. But we're looking forward to the week ahead. We're looking forward to this service. I want to say thank you for being here today. Let's pray. And as we begin in prayer, would you, right where you're seated, ask the Lord to speak to your heart today. Maybe you have a burden. Maybe you have a care, you have a concern, and just in these few moments we have together, would you allow yourself to yield to the leading and His leading in your life? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy and your care and your grace you give us each and every day. And God, we pray this morning as we open the scriptures, as we sing these doctrinal hymns, and we're reminded of your faithfulness, your goodness to us. Help us to enter into this service. Help us to trust you. God, renew our faith. Help us to look to you in all things. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet right there and get a hymnal in the back of the pew, let's do our very best. Hymn 365 this morning. No, not one. Let's do our very best.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is
come on.
No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He review us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about, and He does. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the no, not one. No, not one. Thank you. Be seated.
Thank you.
wonderful singing. What a good song. It encouraged our heart. If you'll take your hymnal again while the choir makes their way down, stand to your feet this morning. Hymn number 199, Where the Soul Never Dies.
Good singing. Here we go. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. And darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear in eyes, where all is love and the soul never dies. Two, roses blooming there for me, where the soul never dies, and I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no seared in eyes, where all is love in the soul. Number five now. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies, where there will be no parting hand, and the soul never dies. No sad farewells, no tear in eyes, where all is never dies. Wonderful singing. Be seated.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I hope you got a bulletin on the way in. And I want to take a few moments this morning and really labor the point about us over these next few weeks doing our very best to be evangelistic and reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we had a tremendous group out and went throughout our community hanging door knockers and spent some time afterwards making some visits and trying to encourage folks. But in our lobby all month long, we have a track rack. But over here on the opposite side of the lobby, there is a gospel table there. There's Easter invite cards. There's door hangers there. There's gospel tracts. And I want us to do our very best over these next several weeks to make a special effort or emphasis in getting out gospel literature, inviting folks to the services here of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, and let's all do our very best to work together in this matter. You'll see there in the bulletin just a note I write each week, and just these are hard days here. A lot of folks that are sick and a lot of folks weary in well-doing, and we just got to keep pressing on and asking the Lord to help us in these days and do our very best. One thing I'd like to bring to your attention is we host a pastor's fellowship each year in March, the second Tuesday in March. And so this year it is on Tuesday, March the 12th. And we need our folk and our ladies to help us with the dishes or the meal for this pastor's fellowship. And I've asked Susie to help me with that. If you could help us, ladies or men, in the matter of cooking and bringing a casserole dish or a side dish, the church is providing the meat and the rolls and the refreshments and things of that nature. And we need the ladies to help us bring desserts and other things to go along with the meal. If you could help us do that, if you'll see Susie today, we're just about 10 days away from that pastor's fellowship. And then on next Saturday evening, there's a youth rally. Several churches have went together, and actually it's being hosted at the State Line Baptist Church, and we're going to take a group of teenagers over there. The van's going to leave at 4:30, and so we're looking forward to that. I want to say thank you to all those that went to the Sheriff's Department with us on Thursday, and we're able to be a blessing, be an encouragement to Sheriff Cassidy and many of the administrative staff and many of the deputies. So appreciative, and we had some time with them, had a word of prayer with the staff there, the office staff. It was a great time of encouragement, and I want to say thank you to all of those that helped us do that. Next Sunday, Time Change Sunday, and go ahead and be prepared for that. If the men will come forward, and we'll take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings, our mission giving, and here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we give to the Lord, we give through the church, and we give for the furtherance of the gospel. And we're praying that as we faithfully give, that we move forward, the needs are met, and we're able to have different programs, different outreaches, different opportunities to allow His word to bear witness with our heart. You'll notice there, I give you some gospel track outreach ideas here, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our giving. Brother James Sampson, do you care to lift your voice and lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this privilege and honor to be back in your house, Lord. Thank you for each one that's here, Lord. I do pray, Lord, and ask you to just touch and speak to each of our hearts, Lord, as we go through the remainder of this service, Lord. I pray you work your will in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of what you're doing and give you glory and honor in all things. Have your way in this offering, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver. Give glory and honor through all that's done as we receive these offerings. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Kim. In the bulletin is an insert and just some different ideas on handing out gospel literature and have them with you each day. How many of you stop at a PALS regularly and you are not ashamed to admit it? Have you ever given the person in that PALS window an invitation to church? There is a McDonald's close to our house over in Bluntville, and I may have a Diet Coke there regularly. And this little girl and I have built a friendship. And anyhow, last evening I told Patty, I said, shame on me for challenging our congregation to give out gospel tracts. And I've never invited this young lady to church. And I just so happened to have a hankering for a Diet Coke. And I had to obey the Lord and take her a tract and have a Diet Coke. But how often this week will you have an opportunity to give someone an invitation to the Tabernacle Baptist Church? To tell them what the Lord's done for you. You're going to go to a doctor's appointment. There'll be a nurse. There'll be a lady at a desk. There'll be about five people come in, take your blood pressure, look in your ears, look up your nose, look down your throat. You could just hand them if they're going to get that personal with you, you might as well get personal with them and invite them to church. And God can use you. All I'm trying to say is we have an opportunity to be an instrument that God can use. And we have opportunities every day, whether it's at the car wash, the dry cleaners, the doctor's appointment. If we would be mindful, God will open doors for us. And as He opens doors, we can see Him do some amazing things. All right, Brother Mike, will you come lead us in a chorus, please, sir?
Let's sing that little chorus. We all know it. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. Good singing.
Thank you so much. I want to give you a couple prayer requests, and then I want to pray, and Brother Mike will sing, and we'll have our sermon. Psalm 69. This morning in the Old Testament, the book of Psalm, and we'll look at chapter number 69. And I'll be forward or honest with you. The message I'm going to preach is difficult for me to preach. Talking about trusting God in hard times and trusting God in difficult days. And I feel it's what our church needs in this moment. And I'll say more about that here in just a bit. But let's be praying for Grace Sexton. Her father-in-law has been in the hospital, had cancer, had a cancerous tumor removed, and let's be praying for them. And then their daughter, Madison, is very sick, a baby, usually in our nursery. Pray for Madison. And then Cleo, this is Susie's sister's in the hospital. And then Sally Sanders and Ray. Sally's still in the hospital. So many burdens here in our congregation. And really, in just a moment, that's really what I want to try to preach about. And trusting God in the hard season. That's what we're going to look at in just a moment. I'll pray, and then Brother Mike, if you'll sing, we'll be prepared for a sermon out of Psalm 69. Lord, we quiet our hearts. We quiet our minds. And Lord, we are needy. So many circumstances, Lord, so many things of a private nature, so many things that we carry. And God, I pray afresh and anew this week, we would be reminded to look to you. I pray afresh and anew that we would trust you in the season that we are in. God, I pray for Cleo in the hospital, Sally Sanders in the hospital, others with physical needs. Lord, we think of Madison and so many, Father, in our congregation that physically need your touch on their life. And I pray this week we would be a mindful congregation, a prayerful congregation. God, give us a heart for others. Help us to see you at work in our life. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet your eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though its sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand. But I never knew they would slip right through as they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds my ship is battered. The anchor holds, though its sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved His love for me. Though my ship is battered, the anchor hold. Though my sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging storm. The anchor holds of my storm.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 69 this morning, and it's a message that's been on my heart, and it's I'm nervous. I typically don't get nervous, but I want to share my heart with you as the pastor that we are in a difficult season, yet in the season we find ourselves, we can trust Him. How many of you would say, you know what, Pastor, this week I had no problems, no setbacks, no struggles or no hardships. I've just had such a wonderful week. Any hands? Not one taker. In other words, we have all faced some difficult things. Some folk went to the doctor this week and did not get the news they had prayed for. Some folks have lost loved ones, and some folks have endured hardship, and some folks got some bills in the mail that were unexpected. And whether we like it or not, we live in a world where there are difficulties. In this psalm, the psalmist faces persecution. He faces hardship. He faces difficult things. He faces a season in life where he's at a crossroads where he has to decide, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to cry out to you. God, I need your help. How many of us this week, in the midst of our hardship, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our emotional heaviness or physical pain, have cried out to the Lord? So often when my burdens are heavy, So often when things come into my life, so often when I feel like my plate is overflowing, do you have a tendency to cry out to him or to them? I want to tell everybody how bad my week was. You want to listen to it, Scott? You want to listen to it, James? Yeah, hey. Do we not look for you to be my comforter instead of him? Overwhelmed, but not overcome. Overwhelmed, but not overcome. I'll read the text and make a few remarks and do my very best this morning to deliver the message God has given us. He opens the psalm, capital letters. Save me, O God. For the waters are come into my soul. It's a metaphor, but we understand, hey, this is a hard thing. Hey, I'm stuck in the mire. Hey, I'm overwhelmed. Hey, I'm in a struggle. Verse 2, I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Verse 3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried and my eyes fall. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. You ever had a week where the tears just kept coming? Can't get them to stop. You had a week where not only are you in some physical discomfort or some physical pain, on occasion, the emotional pain or the emotional baggage that you and I carry could be worse than the physical pain. God, I've prayed to you. God, I need you. God, I want you to help me. And you feel like the waters are coming over. You feel like God is far and distant, and you feel like you're in a struggle. In those first few verses, he says this, save me. Verse 2, he says, I sink. Verse 2, he says, I come, I am come. Verse 3, he says, I am weary. You feel the emotion already in these first few verses. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Verse 4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mightier than I restored that which I took away. He's overwhelmed, or they're innumerable. The hardship, the struggle, the trial, the difficulty, the persecution, it is innumerable. He uses the reference, the hairs of his head. Verse 5, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. And David saying, God, I'm overwhelmed. God, I'm bombarded. God, I'm in a struggle. And God, I want my testimony to be right for you. Tomorrow, when you are at work and you are unloading the difficulty of your life, have you ever paused to think about your testimony before men? David says, God, I'm in a hardship. I'm in a struggle. I'm in a difficult season. And God, I want to be right in my testimony. And God, other people are looking at me. And God, I am counting on you. Because for thy sakes, I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. Verse 8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien to my mother's children. Even his own family, there's a struggle. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, That was to my reproach. I am made sackcloth also of my garments. I'm become a proverb to them. Verses 10 and 11, you see depression. Verse 12, you see degradation, or we today, we would use the word downcast. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Are you with me now, or do you see David? Do you feel how low David feels? See, Pastor, this is not very encouraging. Is that not where we live? So, hey, I've had a hard week. Hey, I'm bombarded. Hey, I feel like I can't get ahead. Hey, the waters are overflowing me. I'm downcast. People are talking about me. Verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. God, this is a hard thing. And God, I feel crushed. God, I don't know what to do. But God, I'm going to pray to you. God, I'm going to look to you. God, I'm going to trust you. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, and neither let the deep water swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. He keeps repeating those same thoughts from those first few verses of overflowing water and overwhelmed life circumstances. Verse 16, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thine tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Verse 20, I'll try to hasten our reading. Verse 20, please. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, and there was none. And for the comforters, I found none. Have you ever been heartbroken? Have you ever felt overwhelmed and overflooded, as the text references? And all you want is someone to listen to you. All you want is a sympathetic ear. All you want is someone who is in your corner. And the psalmist says, man, I'm hurting. There isn't nobody to listen. There isn't nobody that to show empathy. There isn't nobody to extend care. Skip with me, please, to verse 29. There's a section there that I skipped, and the theme or the genre of that section basically would be that David is praying that God would sick his enemies, or God bring retribution to my enemies. That's the chunk of scripture we skipped over. We'll come back to it. Verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. David says in verse 29, God, this is my condition. Verse 30, David says, God, I have confidence in you. In verse 29, David says, God, I am in pain. In verse 30, David says, God, I'm going to praise you. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock hath horns and hooves. David is saying in biblical times, as you would bring a sacrifice to the altar, remember it was Joseph and Mary, and all they could afford was what? Two turtle doves, a small offering, that's all they could afford. Someone that could afford a greater offering would be a bullock or an ox. It had horns, it would be a bigger animal. They would lay that animal on the sacrifice. And David says, God, when I look to you, God, when I trust you, God, when I praise you, God, when I get past the overwhelming circumstances, and God, when I see you at work, it is greater than a bullock's sacrifice.
It doesn't make sense to us, but here's what it's saying. That's a big deal. That's not in the King James. I'm just spelling it out for you. It's a big deal. Your praise, your thanksgiving. If your children, we've got two kids. If all your children ever did was complain, would that be a happy home? At our house, they would not be sitting down. Can you imagine we as his children? We as the beneficiaries of his son's sacrifice at Calvary. We as his chosen, we as his chosen possession. He loved us. He cared for us. He is concerned for the well-being of my life. And all I can offer is complaint. And the psalmist says, my gratitude, my praise, my thanksgiving is greater than this offering of a bullock. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not the prisoner. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Overwhelmed, but not overcome. These first verses, verses 1 through 21, the personal pronoun used is I and my. If you were to take the time to read that portion of scripture, it's all I, it's all me, it's all my, it's all what's in it for me. You move from I and me and my, and you move to the next portion of scripture, and the personal pronoun used is they and them and there. When you get to the end of the text, he uses he and him and his. he begins to see the goodness of the blessing, the providence of God, and he begins to give him those attributes. An overview of the text, the first few verses, it says, deliver me, redeem me, hear me. Then it says, vindicate me. He says, and the portion of scripture I skipped reading, God, would you judge my enemies? God, would you give my enemies what they deserve? At the end of the text, you see David moving from being overflowed or overflooded or stuck in the mire, the water overcoming him. And at the end of the text, you see David praising God and glorifying God. In my scripture reading, I came across this psalm early in the week. And we have been working our way through Exodus systematically. And I began to read this psalm, a cry for help. Begin to think about our congregation. Begin to think about folks with illnesses. I begin to think about folks in the hospital. I begin to think about private situations of which I couldn't even share with you. And I begin to think about how overwhelmed so many in our congregation are. There's a lot of sickness. There's a lot of folk that have physical suffering. There are a lot of folk with difficult situations. If you look through the prayer list, you would understand that these families and these individuals and these people are in a hard season in their life. And it would be so easy to get overwhelmed. It'd be so easy to get distracted when you and I have the flood waters overflow us today. This is what we say. Why me? Why now? And then he says this, what did I do to deserve this? Are those not the thoughts that come to your mind when you're overcome and overwhelmed and you just feel like, God, I don't know what to do? We at times allow our situations and our circumstances, we allow our surroundings to dictate my faith in God. Is God only good when life is good? You could come to me today and you may not like it, and I've had to be here and kind of preach my own sermon to myself, and Patty has re-preached my same sermon to me before, because here's where I live. God, I'm trying to do this for you, and God, I love you, and God, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I want to remind God of all of my good stuff. And then I ask God, why did you allow that? God, this isn't fair. How many of you ever told your kids, life is not fair? How many of you also told your kids this, because I said so? God is good. God is good even when your season is not good. We have allowed trials and hardships to cause us to doubt God. This psalm is actually a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. The suffering he experienced from his brethren, the hardship he faced. And really this morning, I want to try to focus on, how did the psalmist handle this difficulty? Who did the psalmist look to? What guided the psalmist through the hardest season of his life? The truth is, in the midst of difficult days, and in the midst of hardship, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of ongoing illness, it's easy for us to lose hope. And the problem with the season we are in is we are always hoping for better days. Y'all are all looking at me like you ain't ever been where I'm at. We're all hoping for better days, but we're missing what he is doing today. If you haven't said amen, that's a good place right there. Suffering in an unjustly and fallen world is a painful experience for all believers. The world is evil and is no friend of grace. The world seeks to destroy those who live righteously. The psalmist finds himself facing opposition and persecution for doing what is right. He's persecuted for his zeal for God. David pleaded with God to rescue him from wicked people. To make matters worse, as you read the text, even his own family has rejected him. Even his own family has part of the issue. David pleads with God to deliver him, and David asks for the Lord's wrath to be poured out on his enemies. With a renewed faith, he ends this psalm with a great praise to God. I think it's a needful reminder to look to him in the midst of our hard season, to be reminded that he is in control. He makes no mistakes. He hasn't lost account of where you are at. The theme of the text is David petitions God to deliver him from his enemies, his foes, and to punish them. When we are in hard days, it's difficult to practice faith. We are in hard days. We tend to lose perspective. Those first few verses, and I'll move quickly, you see David's crisis. David's crisis. David, it says here in verses 1 and 2, he says he's drowning. Save me, oh God. This metaphor of deep waters, they're up to his neck. He's crying out to God for God's rescuing mercy. He says this, maybe you've said it this week. God, this is too much for me. God, I'm overwhelmed. You see the crisis that David is in. He's drowning. Not only is he drowning, in verse 3, he is drained. You prayed the same prayer again and again and again, and you've cried yourself to sleep night after night after night, and there's a real crisis, and you really are overwhelmed. Emotionally, you're drained. Physically, you're drained. He's in the depths of despair. Look at verse 2. It says, I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come to the deep waters where the floods overflow me. He is speaking of the attacks against him. In your crisis, have you really called out to God, or have you just told God what you wanted changed? In your hardship, he is drowning. He is drained. Verse 4, he's despised. He's despised. He's exhausted from the emotional struggle. He's worn out. He's calling out to God for help. His throat is dry. He feels like this. There is no end in sight, and there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And then you feel like this, if you have the same attitude I did, when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's just a train coming to run you over, you know? He's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. Maybe this is where you're at. Maybe there's a hardship you faced, a trial you're going through, and you feel like asking God, God, where are you in this? David's crisis. David's crisis. David's confession. You move to the next portion of Scripture, and you move from David's crisis to David's confession. In verses 5 and 6, David acknowledges his sin. Thou knowest, look at verse 5 and 6, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. David confessed. He says, God, I've sinned. He is searching his heart. He is desiring a pure heart before a holy God. In verse 6, he is concerned for his testimony. Not only is David acknowledging he's sinned, David is telling us that he has suffered. He suffered. He's saying, God, I acknowledge that you are in control. God, I acknowledge that you are at work. God, I acknowledge it. I realize it. And this is what's hard to say. I trust you in it. Matthew 5, 10 through 12, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching and teaching. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verses 10 through 12, people had made sport of David. People had mocked David. You see, folks, in verse 7, dishonor. You see, verse 8, there's a disassociation. I'm become a stranger. There's folks in verse 9 that despise him. In verses 10 and 11, there's this depression. In verse 12, David feels downcast. Can you see in your mind David's cry to the Lord? Can you feel the emotion of the text? You get to verse 13, there is a turning, if you will. He says this in verse 13, 14. He says, God, answer me. God, deliver me. He says in verse 13 and 14, God, help me. He says, God, hear me. He repeats the thoughts from the previous verse. Do you feel overwhelmed? Have you acknowledged him? This is a hard one. We always don't get the why. Why did you allow this? Why did you bring this to my life? Why did you allow this to come to pass? You get to verse 13 and you see David's cry. He says this in verse 13, God, answer me. God, answer me. He appeals to God's mercy. He appeals to God's goodness. He appeals to God's grace. God, hear me. God, help me. God, answer me. He says, God, would you deliver me? God, would you see where I'm at? God, I know your goodness. God, I know you're working. God, I have seen you answer prayers before. How many of us are very short-sighted? We could go back in our mind to seasons where we felt like we were just hanging on by a thread. We're all sitting here today. We can go back in our mind to seasons where we thought, I'll never make it through this. Yet his goodness, his mercy, his grace has sustained each of us. David's cry, answer me, God. It's an appeal based on God's mercy. It's an appeal based on his great love, not on David's merit. He says, answer me, God. Then he says, deliver me. Says, God, see me. Verses 16 and 17. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am troubled. Hear me speedily. Verse 18, God, redeem me. Redeem me. He pleaded knowing that God was the only hope for his deliverance. God is the only hope for the relief in the season you find yourself in. David's cry. David's conspirators or those that would oppose David or those that were against the working of God. Can you imagine at this moment in verses 19, 20, 21, reproach hath broken my heart. Verse 20, I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For the comforters, but I found none. Can you imagine how helpless he feels? Can you imagine how helpless and hopeless his heart is overwhelmed? These enemies have inflicted harm. David said, I just want someone to understand. I just want someone to listen. I just want someone to feel what I feel. The conspirators, they're against him. Verse 19, they shame him. Verse 20, they sicken him. Verse 21, they scorn him. Can you feel the emotion of the text? Look with me at verse 22. He wants God to give retribution to his enemies, and I'll move quick. Bind my enemies, blind my enemies. Verse 22, 23. God, I want you to annihilate them. God, I want you to handle this situation. God, I need your help. David pleaded with God, let not their names be listed for righteousness. bury my enemies, blot out my enemies. David wants them to pay for their transgression. Look at the end of the text. At David's celebration. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In much pain and distress, David asked God to protect him, to raise him up. God, guide me. God, guard me. Verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. That Lord, would you help me in the season I'm in? God, would you give me your understanding? David moves from his pain to praising God. He rose above the circumstances. He looked to heaven. He calls out God's name in song. He says, God, I'm going to praise you. God, I'm going to glorify you. God, I'm going to gratify you. His praise was greater than the sacrifice of an ox. You see gratitude and thanksgiving. How often when we are unleashing the things that overwhelm us, we negate God's faithfulness. We negate his benefits. We negate his goodness. I will praise God. And then David encourages everyone else at the end of the text, let's all praise God. Let's look to him in the season that we're in. This is a messianic psalm. It's one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. All believers who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, hardship, overwhelming things. Yea, and all, 2 Timothy 3 and 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In the midst of your hardship, will you acknowledge God? In the midst of your hardship, will you trust that he is in control? In the midst of your hardship, will you praise him in spite of focusing on what you are facing? David, he was overwhelmed, but he was not overcome. If we're honest enough, you could look at me this morning and say, Pastor, I feel every verse in that text. The waters have overwhelmed me. I feel like the walls are closing in. Can I remind you as his child, look to him. Can I remind you as his child to rehearse the benefits he's given you? Can I remind you as his child to look back on the seasons he's already brought you from? Can I remind you as his child to praise him in the meantime? Can I remind you as his child to take a pen out and write his blessings that he has given you in your life? Like this, the hardship you face and the trial you're in, it is not going to go away. But they'll refocus on him and not on them. Lord, help us this morning. Congregation, many are hurting. Many are overwhelmed. Many have a struggle in their own heart. Maybe a private matter. Maybe something they're dealing with. And God, would we see you at work in our life this week? God, would we acknowledge that the things that overwhelm us, and would we trust you? God, would we look to you for our guidance, our strength, our help? Help us this morning to have a refocus on who you are and what you're doing. Enlarge our trust. Give us praise in the midst of a hard season. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet for a song of invitation? Hymn 385 is... Miss Kim begins to play and Brother Mike sings. Would you come this morning and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this season.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling.
Would you come this morning and say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you.
See on the borders,
he's waiting and watching for
and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. On the second, why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home.
Thank you so much for being here today, and I'm so happy. I hope you spend a few moments this week and look through that psalm and be reminded of the work of Christ in your own heart and life. And let's look to him. Let's trust him. Have a great week ahead. Looking forward to all that God will do. Tonight, we continue this series on a relationship is greater than religion, and we come back to Romans chapter number 7. And we had a missionary last Sunday night. She did a tremendous job, and I just got about half my sermon preached last Sunday night. We'll kind of pick up part two of that, but I hope you have a blessed week. I appreciate those that help with the Sheriff's Department. We had a business meeting on Wednesday night, and I appreciate those that faithfully support the work here and just get right in, and let's trust God to help us move forward here in these days. Brother Joel, can you lift your voice and dismiss us with prayer and thank the Lord for his goodness to us this morning?